If Professor Max Kamian is right, there's a lazy $60 million at least that the Treasurer could pull from health expenditure and the world would be a better place. Max Kamian is Foundation Professor of General Practice at the University of Western Australia, and he's on a mission to rid the world of a disease called Ganfid.
No, Ganfid is not a town in Wales. It is an acronym for a contagion called Get a Note from Your Doctor. The most prevalent form of this disease is the sickness certificate. Requests for one have risen from 1 per 160 visits to a GP in 1999 to 1 in every 53 visits in 2010. This equates to 2.2 million GP visits a year in which a sickness certificate is written. 80% of these so-called consultations are solely for the purpose of getting the sickness certificate. Assuming this involves a standard Medicare rebated consultation of $34, the yearly cost to the Australian taxpayer is $60 million. To put this in perspective, on any one working day, 3% of the workforce will be unexpectedly absent, with an estimated overall loss to the Australian economy of $30 billion a year. I have been a doctor for 51 years and have been asked for a sickness certificate about twice a day. So I have written over 20,000 sickness certificates. Only two have been queried. The first involved a train driver with a privately acquired disease. His line manager would not accept my statement that this man was fit to resume his occupation. The manager wanted to know the train driver's diagnosis. I refused to comply on the grounds of medical confidentiality. Since my patient's employment remained in limbo, I wrote a further medical certificate stating that Mr. Train Driver had a temporary lower urinary obstruction that had been cleared. He was allowed to resume driving large locomotives. The second query concerned a young lady who had been involved in a minor motor accident that caused her to miss a two-hour practical class. I wrote, Miss Uni Student told me that she had a motor vehicle accident this morning. She did not sustain any injury. I cannot believe that a university has so little trust in its students that it demands a medical certificate for an absence of only 2 hours. The young lady's mother claimed that my medical certificate would antagonise her daughter's lecturer and jeopardise her daughter's academic progress. So I wrote to the dean of her faculty, who replied that foreign affairs regulations demanded that fee-paying students account for their absence from formal classes to ensure they were not engaged in illegal activities. Requests for sickness certificates take two main forms. The employee has a common cold. He or she is clearly unwell and should not be at work or in a GP's waiting room, coughing and sneezing their viruses over patients and practice staff. Or the employee has been denied payment for sickness leave until they produce a doctor's certificate. Most GPs write, Mr. Absent tells me that last month he was off work for 5 days because of a severe bout of hay fever. Sadly, I have never had one of these worthless certificates queried. This is clearly an example of Marshall McLuhan's dictum that the medium is the message. I am aware that the maintenance of a civil society requires checks and balances. Employers need a reliable workforce, and unions need to provide workers with protection from employer exploitation. But between them, they have created a mindlessly wasteful system. The employers, fed up with what they see as a frequent abuse of sickness provisions, are demanding information about employees' medical reasons for short absences from work. This is none of their business, and no ethical doctor should provide private medical information to an employer. In the 1920s, the union movement fought for the right of workers to a designated number of days of paid sick leave. This was to protect the income and the job of a sick worker. But this humane provision has become regarded not as a safeguard, but as an entitlement. This has created a perverse incentive for employees to take a sickie when they are not really sick. The main arbiter in this balancing act between the employer and the sick employee is the GP. I am a GP and begrudge this mutual waste of time. A recent example I had was a policeman with a severe flu. He is trusted to carry a baton, taser and pistol and to drive a high-powered pursuit car. He is also trusted to tell the truth when giving evidence in court. but he thought he needed a sickness certificate because he was not trusted to say he was sick. Consultations for the sole purpose of getting a sickness certificate also use up GP appointment slots to the detriment of patients who do need access to the medical care that GPs have spent a minimum of 10 years learning to provide. An integral part of a GP's tasks is to be an advocate for his or her patients. So few GPs are likely to refuse to write a sickness certificate. In fact, it is easier to get a sickness certificate from a GP than it is to get him to give your preschool child a jelly bean for bravery in the face of the immunisation needle. Writing sickness certificates where there is no present or past objective evidence of illness is an administrative, not a medical task. And by its very nature, it is one that can compromise a GP's integrity. Certifying 2 or 3 days off work is not the business of doctors. It is the business of employers and employees and should be worked out between them. We GPs are sick to death of being asked for sickness certificates. The employer's requirement for sickness certificate to cover an employee's time away from work due to the flu is simply a manifestation of the mindless get a note from your doctor syndrome aimed at diffusing responsibility from an individual employee and their line manager onto a GP. Similar examples are the GP certificate of wellness demanded for joining a gymnasium or participating in a fun run. Medicare is vigilant about doctors whom they suspect of rorting their system, but sickness certificates do not come under their definition of a rort. If any other government-supported organisation annually wasted $60 million of taxpayers' money, it is likely that this would be noticed, investigated, and put to rights. But in Australia, all we are doing is chortling at the posturing of the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia and the Australian Medical Association about who should be allowed to issue medical certificates. In Western Australia, a new player in the sickness certificate saga is the Liquor, Hospitality and Miscellaneous Union, the LHMU. It had encouraged its members to use a statutory declaration of sickness instead of a doctor's certificate. But in 2010, the administrators at Royal Perth Hospital, worried about the high number of absentee support staff, demanded that their absent employees obtain a GP certificate of sickness. The LHMU appealed to the West Australian Industrial Relations Commission. With Solomon-like wisdom, the Commission determined that firstly, a medical certificate was needed for more than 2 consecutive days' sickness. This perpetuates the current unsatisfactory situation. Secondly, where it was difficult to obtain an appointment with a GP, the employee could submit a self-certified application supported by a statutory declaration that adequately detailed the nature of the illness or injury and the circumstances that resulted in the non-attendance with a medical practitioner or relevant health professional. This is an affront to a worker's privacy and could be open to challenge under Commonwealth privacy legislation. And lastly, they said, where a work manager could see that a worker was obviously ill, they could approve leave. This last order is sensible and advances the struggle against bureaucratic stupidity. So, are there any solutions to this minus ritual of get a note from your doctor? Well, yes, there are. First of all, we need to stop arguing about who should be allowed to write sickness certificates for short, self-limiting episodes of illness and start discussing whether these certificates need to be written at all. Secondly, we need a widespread debate about the amount of surveillance our Australian community is prepared to accept in its pursuit of accountability. Thirdly, we need innovative approaches that discourage absenteeism and reward regular work attendance. These could include attendance incentives, end-of-year financial bonuses, holiday packages, and additional superannuation payments. Fourthly, society needs to become aware of the waste of GPs' time and expertise taken up in a mindless task that pretends to account for short absences of people from their work. A change to the Scandinavian model, where employees can have 7 consecutive days of sick leave without having to provide a doctor's certificate, would immediately reduce the demand on GPs for both a piece of paper and an unnecessary prescription for antibiotics. Absenteeism from work is a serious and complex area, but when it is due to minor self-limiting illness or sickies, GPs do not want to be involved. A short period of absenteeism, for whatever reason, is an issue between an employer and an employee. If the employer wishes to involve a third party, the onus of action and expense should be on that employer and not on the GP and Medicare. My rarely called upon union is the Australian Medical Association. It is the appropriate union to conduct negotiations with workers and employers' unions aimed at ridding workers and GPs of this expensive, infective, mindless and time-consuming game of get a sickness note from your doctor. Success would be an enduring testimony to their negotiating skills and would ensure the admiration and gratitude of many thousands of currently beleaguered GPs.
Max Kamian, Foundation Professor of General Practice at the University of Western Australia.